Jagadanjana, Shalakaya Chakshur, Unminitam Yenatasmai, Shri Gurudeva Maha. So today we are celebrating Vaishnava Diksha, or actually Vaishnavi Diksha, to be more precise. So there's actually two types of initiation that are going on here. There's the Harinam initiation and the Brahman initiation. And so I'm going to describe briefly each one. So, of course, Harinam initiation. Harinam is our primary process in this Kali Yuga. Kali, Kalera, Dharma, Krishna Nama, Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti, Vinanahi, Tari Pravartana. In this Kali Yuga, there's Ekom Dharma, and that's Bengali. It means there's one Dharma. That Dharma is Krishna Nam Sankirtan, chanting the holy names of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya instructs us that this is quite different from other religious practices in many different ways. But one particular way it is different from other religious practices is that Niyamena Tishtat. There are no hard and fast rules for chanting. So that may come as a shock to you. You were thinking you had to chant 16 rounds a day? Yes. Anyway, you do. But Niyamena Tishtan means that there's no hard and fast Vedic rules for chanting the holy name. For chanting other mantras, such as mantras when you worship the deities, or the Gayatri mantras, or other mantras like that, there are different injunctions, restrictions, insofar as when you say them, where you say them, how you say them, what meter you say them in. But the holy names of the Lord have no such restrictions. You can chant the holy names of the Lord anywhere and everywhere. There's no question of an impure place when you're chanting Krishna's name. Because by chanting Krishna's name, Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, that Krishna is personally present and he turns that place into a holy place. So chanting is the primary practice. But there are no hard and fast Vedic rules, but there are hard and fast rules for chanting. And those hard and fast rules are given to us by Srila Prabhupada and by the members of our disciplic succession, particularly by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who elaborates on the 10 offenses that one should avoid while they're chanting the holy name. Not only avoid them while you're chanting the holy name, avoid them throughout the rest of the day too. Sometimes devotees say that I'm not committing any offenses while I'm chanting, but after the morning program, I commit a lot of offenses. That's okay. No, it's not all right. So one should avoid these 10 offenses throughout the day. And the 10 offenses which Srila Prabhupada would comment on and mention in every initiation are as follows. Number one, the offense of blaspheming the devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. Of course, that offense is called a mad elephant offense. Because if you commit that offense, you'll lose all desire to chant. And when you lose all desire to chant, you can't chant anymore, and then you fall down. Because when you can't chant, then you have no protection against Krishna's material energy. Actually, the chanting is our protection. Because other than Krishna consciousness, everything is Guna Sangha. Guna Sangha means the association with the modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So if you don't chant, then goodness, passion, ignorance. Usually in Kali Yuga, passion and ignorance overcome you, and then you fall down. So, therefore, chanting is essential, and therefore don't commit offenses against devotees of the Lord. If you really want to enjoy chanting, have a taste for chanting, want to chant more, like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan pray, or Rupa Goswami prays, Then he prays for millions and millions of tongues, or unlimited tongues and unlimited mouths, so he can continually chant the holy name of the Lord. So that offense is very serious. Next offense is something that's important for those of you who are from Fiji, which is everyone here. That is, do not think that the names of the demigods or the demigods themselves are equal to or independent of Lord Vishnu. Ekala Isha Krishna Sattva Vritya. There's one supreme personality of Godhead, of course, Krishna, who expands himself as Lord Vishnu, expands himself as Lord Nrsingadev, Kurma, Varaha, all these different incarnations. But he's the supreme controller and everyone else is subservient to Krishna or to Vishnu. So, also, generally the names of the demigods, with one exception, are different than the demigods themselves. Like you could chant Indra, 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 it's different from Indra. And you can chant Brahma, 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 it's different from Brahma. But of course, the name Shiva, Shiva is eternal, so that's the same as Lord Shiva. And of course, when you chant the names of devotees, you know, pure devotees, the devotee is present too. Although that is not necessarily their eternal name. You know, just like we have Srila Prabhupada, we chant his name, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. But that's not Prabhupada's eternal name. That's the name that Prabhupada took in this world, but it's spiritual, and we chant his name, therefore. But Krishna's name is non-different from him. So when we chant Krishna, Krishna is present. So we shouldn't equate Krishna or his names with any other entity. Okay? And the third offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Now that's an interesting offense to contemplate. We don't follow the spiritual master blindly. That is, if the spiritual master gives us some instruction, let's say you're driving your car and the spiritual master is sitting with you in the car and the spiritual master says, turn left, it's a one-way street. Then you have the right to tell the guru, it's a one-way street, you're going to get in trouble. And so, you know, not blind following. But ultimately, through discussion back and forth, one should follow the instruction of the spiritual master, because the spiritual master is concerned with one's welfare. The spiritual master has no personal motivation in dealing with someone or dealing with a disciple, but he just wants the person to be Krishna conscious and happy. That's all. There's no question that the spiritual master wants to use the disciple for his own use or whatever, but he wants the devotee to ultimately go back to home, back to Godhead. And so therefore, sometimes the spiritual master may chastise the disciple, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even mentioned that his spiritual master chastised him. Of course, this is in a discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati, where Prakashananda Saraswati was asking Lord Chaitanya, who was a sannyasi at that time, why do you just chant Hare Krishna and dance? Why don't you study Vedanta? And then Lord Chaitanya said, that my spiritual master said, I'm a fool, so all you can do is chant Hare Krishna. So one should be ready not to be foolish before the spiritual master, but to be humble enough to take the instruction that's given by the spiritual master, because it's coming from Krishna and it's for one's welfare. It's not for any other purpose. He's not doing it just to torture you. Remember that. Okay. So then the next offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures and literatures in pursuance of the Vedic literature. So we don't criticize any literatures of any religious society worldwide, whether it is Hinduism, whether it is the Vedas, whether it is the Bible, whether it is the Quran. We don't criticize, because all these literatures are meant to ultimately bring one to the point of Krishna consciousness through different stages. There's different hierarchies, of course. As Prabhupada mentioned, there's elementary study, and there's graduate study, and there's postgraduate study of religion. And so what Lord Chaitanya is teaching is postgraduate study of religion. But it doesn't negate the undergraduate, kindergarten, or any of the other aspects or portrayals of religion. So the next offense is to think that the glories of the Lord are imagination. That's pretty self-explanatory. The next offense is to give some perverted, interpretive, mundane meaning to the holy name. The holy name is Krishna himself. That's really all we have to know. Of course, some of the acharyas have commented, like we mentioned yesterday in class, the word Krishna. Krishna means attract. Krishna means attract, attraction. Na means negation in the material world. So we become attracted to Krishna, and then we become renounced, raso vargam, raso kya param krishnani vargam. Then we become renounced from this material world by being attracted to Krishna. Okay. And next verse is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. So sinful activities means vikarmic activities which go against the manasamhita, like eating meat, fish, eggs, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and then thinking you get away with it by chanting. It doesn't work like that. So the next offense is to consider the chanting to be like a ritual. We do have some rituals in the Krishna consciousness movement. Like this fire sacrifice is a ritual. There's different things we do as rituals in the Krishna consciousness movement. But the chanting is infinitely superior to anything else, basically, that we do. In fact, it's said that if you compare a million ashwamedha sacrifices or big sacrifices to one chanting of Hare Krishna, you're a demon. So be careful. It's not an auspicious, ritualistic activity. It's everything. You are with Krishna when you chant. Your best friend, I realized this before I joined the Krishna consciousness movement, I realized that I could always take my best friend with me by chanting Hare Krishna. Always wanted a friend who was always with me. And the chanting and the holy names of Krishna is always with me. So the next offense is to preach the glories of the Lord to the faithless. I'll explain what that means. That means as we preach or share Krishna consciousness, which I prefer rather than preach, as we share Krishna consciousness, we should understand who we're sharing it with. So you don't want to present 100% immediately if they're going to become upset, offensive, or reject Krishna consciousness. So gradually, like Prabhupada said, in like a pin, out like a plow, that is our method of presenting Krishna consciousness. In other words, here's some prasadam, just to give a brief example of it. Here's some prasadam. Oh, and the person asks, what's your philosophy? Oh, it's not that important right now. I'll tell you later. Here's more prasadam. I'll tell you later. And then after 10 years, okay, you're not your body. Okay, good. And anyway, and then later on, after another 50 years, there's God, and his name is Krishna. Anyway, so the point is, you got to understand who you're talking to when you talk about Krishna or Krishna consciousness. You can't just, like, blast everybody. I mean, when I first joined the Krishna consciousness movement, I went home, and I told my mother she was a Maya. And she got really angry. And I said, you got to stop doing what you're doing, chant Hare Krishna, renounce your sense gratification, don't go to the theater anymore. That was it for a few years. So you got to be careful. All right. And the last offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna, maintain material attachments. So, as I've mentioned many times before, it's not offensive to have material attachments. It's offensive to maintain them and increase them. We should be gradually trying to reduce them. Day by day, that's called the clearing platform of chanting. And if you do that, you become happier, because these material attachments are things that bind you to this material world and keep you from being ecstatic, keep you from realizing your eternal blissful, full of knowledge nature, such an Ananda nature. So, you know, don't you want to become free from the bondage? Karma bandhana, jnana bandhana, all these other things? Yes, of course. And then finally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that At the root of all these different offenses in chanting is the inattentive chanting. Inattentive chanting means basically you're thinking of something else, your mind is wandering, etc., while you're chanting the holy names. So you should always, or try to be attentive. And yesterday we were talking about this. Samuk asked me an interesting question about it yesterday. He said, how do we chant with devotion, or how do we chant with attention? And my answer was that we have to have some intention, I'm not saying attention, intention, while we're chanting. And to come up with a good intention, we can refer to Lord Chaitanya's Shikshashtika, and each and every one of the verses may or will resonate with us, or a particular verse will resonate with us, so we can chant with that particular mood. For example, if you're suffering in the material world, you may be attracted to chanting or thinking in the mood of Ayadanda Tanujakinkaram, Padhitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Budo Kripayad Padapankaja Stita Duli Sadrasampachintaya. You may be thinking, oh Krishna, save me! I'm suffering in this horrible material world. Please fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Or you may be asking Krishna for a taste. Nayanam galud ashra dharaya, varanam garad udaya gira. You may be saying, Krishna, when will I have that taste for chanting your holy names, that my tears will come from my eyes and hairs will stand on end and I will feel quivering and my voice will be choked up with ecstasy. Gad gada udaya gira. So basically, we should find some way we can connect our heart with the holy name, because devotional service and the chanting specifically, especially, is done with the subtle body. Now, of course, the gross body follows the subtle body. It's not that you can just like say, I'm serving Krishna with my mind, but I'm not going to do it externally. If you're doing it with your mind, you'll naturally do it externally. So, if we're absorbed, giving our heart to Krishna, and chanting should be an emotional exchange. Because unless you give your emotions to Krishna, then your emotions will be focused on something external. Bahiyartha manina, andara yutandara, upadhiya niyamanas, te pisha tantra muru damnibara. So anyway, your emotions will be focused, and as I mentioned practically in every class, on Bollywood movies or some ridiculous thing like that. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is meant for emotions. It's meant, Prabhupada said, tears are the price of pure devotional service. And actually one of my godbrothers, Gur Govinda Maharaj, he would mention that his temple was a crying ashram. You know, crying. Because all you ladies would like that. So, crying for Krishna. Volume. Srupa Goswami says the same thing. We cry for intense hankering. I want you, Krishna. I want you to save the conditioned souls, Krishna. I want you to help. Help, Krishna. Like a child, Prabhupada also said, like a child crying out for his mother. Mommy, mommy. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna. Krishna's your mother, father, sister, brother, everything. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Krishna, you're everything to me. And that's true love. Anyway, so that's the chanting. And then when you chant properly, you'll progress very quickly through the different stages in Arjuna Vritti. Then you'll become nishta, fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then you'll get a taste for chanting, ruchi, a shakti, you'll become completely attached to Krishna. You'll experience the bhavas, emotions, uncontrollable emotions, and ultimately you'll get prema. And then you'll be so happy. I mean, we all want to be happy. So this is the method of being happy. This is what we're doing. We're allowing... These devotees are taking initiation to become happy. And of course, I, as a spiritual master, accepting these disciples on the part or on behalf of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and His society. So when you join or take initiation, you are also saying that you'll be part of ISKCON Shrim Prabhupada society and serve Shrim Prabhupada society and help increase the number of devotees. I was listening to a class this morning, and Prabhupada recited this verse so many times in the class. He was preaching in India, and this verse states that anyone who is born in the land of India has as his duty, or anyone who is born in the land of Fiji, as the case may be, as his duty, para upakara, to work for the benefit of others. Why do you have it as your duty? Because you have achieved a birth where you're exposed to Krishna consciousness basically from your very birth. This is very fortunate, and you all know the Bhagavad Gita practically for, if not for your whole lives, for most of your lives. And some of you were actually born in devotee families. Right, go with it. So, this is fortunate. So if you have fortune, don't be a miser. Your business is to distribute it, not just to keep all your transcendental money for yourself. Like if someone's a rich man, and he's just living, I know someone like in India, there's one man in Mumbai who has a $30 or $40 million house. What's the use of such a thing? Our business is to distribute Krishna consciousness. And so you're being given this great wealth, this great present. And the more you distribute, the more you have. So all of us who are taking initiation, or are taking initiation, are promising to distribute this Krishna consciousness in Srila Prabhupada's society. And, you know, I am promising to give guidance to accept you all as members of the Gaudiya Vaishnava, Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. It's very important you stick to your promises, because it's a personal promise I am making to Krishna when I give initiation. It's a heavy thing for me to give initiation. Because, why is it heavy? Because it's a responsibility towards Krishna. And, you know, I get very attached to bringing people back to Krishna. And when people don't fulfill their obligations, it's actually painful for me. So you have an obligation to me, you have an obligation to Prabhupada, you have an obligation to Krishna, an obligation to yourself, obligation to your family. You become Krishna conscious, your whole family becomes saved. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he saved his whole family. So there's so many obligations you have when you're taking initiation. Okay, and that's first initiation. Second initiation is called, I'll just touch upon that very briefly, Brahman initiation, and this is a further step in Krishna consciousness. It means that one should cultivate the motive goodness qualities. Of course, those who are taking first initiation should also cultivate motive goodness. It's not that you wait until second initiation to be in the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means sama-dhamma-tipakcha-cham-shanti-raja-meva-cha. Basically, it means being equipoised, sama-dhamma, self-controlled, austere, accepting things favorable for Krishna consciousness, rejecting things unfavorable, socham-clean, tolerant, religious, studying the literatures, applying the literatures. This is all there in the mode of goodness. So how does one stay in the mode of goodness? Keeping good association. You associate with those in the mode of goodness, and you stay in the mode of goodness. As this verse goes, which we quoted previously in this class, karnam gunasangasya sarasad janmajonishu. That one comes to a certain mode of behavior, of thought, by association. And so by association with the lower modes of nature, you come to the lower modes of nature. You become, like Prabhupada said, if you associate with drunkards, you become a drunkard. And Prabhupada also said, if you associate with those, let's say if you go to the stock market, then you become an investor. I remember one time, before I joined the movement, I went to the horse races. So because I was associating with the people who were betting on the horses, I also made a bet. I have to admit, true confessions. And I lost. Fortunately, I lost, because if I had won, you know, it would have been good. So, because you associate with these people, and you just do the same thing. Just like you young people, you're all young. One exception. So, you young people, there's social pressure, isn't it? You're with your friends or associates, and they say, come on, don't be conservative. You know, what is this? You know, you should enjoy life while you can. So there's a social pressure just to keep your friends. I mean, I have one friend, he's not in India anymore, but he was a real estate agent in India. And I went to visit him in his house, and I saw all these lines of liquor bottles all over the place. I said, what is that? I knew what it was. But, you know, I'm not innocent in that way. He said, that's liquor. I said, I know. But what's it doing in your house? And he said, well, I have to sell real estate. I have to get my customers drunk. Anyway, so, I said, this is ridiculous. Better you change your occupation. And he said, all right, how do I change my... This is an interesting story. How do I change my occupation? I said, go on Govardhan Parikrama with me. So he would go on Govardhan Parikrama praying for money. Anyways, he was more enthusiastic than me to worship Govardhan. This shows that if it's from your heart, you actually become very attentive. He had very attentive chanting, so he'd go around Govardhan. I made it halfway around, and he said, I'm going to do the whole thing. It's maybe the middle of the night, but I'm going. And he kept doing it, and then finally, he got a PR for New Zealand. You know I'm talking about. No, you don't. Not you. He was from India. And he got a PR from New Zealand. He said, wow, Govardhan really fulfilled my wishes. Anyway. But he gave up drinking liquor, and his family gave up eating meat. So anyway. So the point is, if you associate with people who are doing things, then you become like them. So keep good association. Sangos jagat sato vrite, sadvira bhakti prasijati. As Rupa Goswami says, give up bad association, keep good association. It's very nice. And we associate generally by hearing. So we hear, as far as possible, we hear throughout the day about Krishna. Whatever spare moment you have, utilize modern technology, such as an MP3 player, your mobile phone, or whatever, and hear about Krishna. It's so nice, isn't it? I mean, it's so nice. You just hear, just like I was doing my Didi Puja before the class, and I was hearing about Krishna from Prabhupada. It was just so enlivening. It's just so enlivening just to hear about, to hear from Prabhupada. A pure devotee, because the pure devotee's words have the saffron dust particles coming from them. So remember that. If you want to become enlivened, hear from a pure devotee. If you want to become depressed, hear from a rascal. Or listen to some rascal music, like Bollywood music. That's it, up to you. I want to be happy, I don't want to be miserable. I don't. And you see, just one final thing about being miserable. I've experienced, when we distributed books years ago, to people going to the movies, not Bollywood movies, but Hollywood movies, they were happy going in, and they were miserable coming out. So I couldn't give them any books when they were coming out of the movie theater, because they were angry. It was dangerous for me. But going in, they were just so blissful. So that's happiness in the mode of passion. That it's like nectar in the beginning and poison at the end. Remember that. That's passionate happiness. That's Bollywood happiness. Nectar in the beginning. Misery in the end. Okay. Anyway, on that happy note, we'll proceed, with the initiation. And each candidate, I guess you're going to have one by one. Okay, you can just follow in line here. One by one, go up to Prabhupada, offer your respectful obeisances, and then you go to the, of course the deities are closed, but you can offer obeisances to all the altars at one time. Then you come to my humble self, or not so humble self, depending on your perspective. So, And then you come and you take your vows to chant a certain number of rounds, follow a certain regulated principles, and then you get your spiritual Hare Krishna name. That's good. Okay. Ready, set, go. Okay, we're having an initiation here. Oh, Angelina, it's good to see you. Margaret. Vigash, Mayapur, it's good to see you. Vrindavan Chandra, Praneshra, Gokulendra, Manarini Radha, Sudharma. I'm just talking to the people who are online watching me. Nice. Okay. Whoops. Okay. You offered obeisance to deities already? You can do that now. Okay. It's all gopis today. No gopas taking initiation. It shows in Kali Yuga the men are better devotees, the women are better devotees than men, isn't it? Prabhupada said the ladies are more inclined towards religion. Just like our preaching in China, it's very interesting. We have tens of thousands of new devotees in China, and 95% of them are ladies. Why? Because the ladies are interested in spiritual life, and the men are just interested in money, advancement, like that. There are some exceptions amongst the men. Gokul Bandhu is an exception. So, he'd be a very good catch for any lady. Poor Gokul Bandhu. Anyways, alright, so, one by one, who's first? Ladies first. It's all ladies. That's funny. Okay. Just come quick, quick, quick. Jaldi, jaldi, jaldi. One at a time. Oh, Gopi is, yeah, she's the oldest. Okay, Gopika. Get your bead there. Okay, look, you have to sit down. Unless you don't want to get initiated. Okay, so what are the four regulated principles?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex.
And no kava either, right?
No coffee.
Kava.
I don't drink kava.
I know. It's only the men that drink kava. No, all right. So how many rounds you jam?
16.
And, all right, let me get your name here. So you get the beads with your right hand. So your name now is Prema Gopi Devidasi.
Yeah.
Prema Gopi Devidasi Ki Jai. That's a nice name.
That's a beautiful name. Thank you.
Prema Gopi. Okay. And next, who's next? Okay. Bhakti is next. Oh, okay.
That's me.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Whoops, another mala. Okay. Okay, and what are the four regular principles? Okay, how many rounds? 60 rounds daily. Okay. She's going to America. To find a nice devotee husband. Anyway, so...
So, let me get to your beads. Okay. So you got the beads with your right hand. These are the right beads, yeah. So your name now is Nitya Kishori Devi Dasi. How'd it go? Nitya Kishori Devi Dasi Kijai. You'll see these are all Vrindavan names except for one. One of them maybe not a Vrindavan. Anyway. Haribo, Nitya Kishori Devi Dasi Kijai. Okay. Now. Okay. So, what are the four regular principles? Okay, and how many rounds every day? Okay, very good. So your name, this is not a Vrindavan name, but it's important for her. Really important. Your name is Guru Seva Devi Dasi. It means you always have to listen to instructions. My instructions. Okay. Okay, one more. Okay, thank you. And so Radhika, oh, I forgot to give Gurusev. Anyway, I'll give you that later. So, what are the four regulative principles? Okay, that's very nice. And how many rounds? 16 rounds a day. Okay. Now, you had such a nice name, I was reluctant to change it. So I made a little adjustment to it, okay? So your name now is, get it, be with your right hand, Leela Radhika Devi Dasi. Okay? Leela Radhika Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Okay, and which enough malas. Okay. And we'll give you the guide tree voucher later. Okay, you can proceed. Hare Krishna. Oh. Okay. Thank you. Hare Bol. Later on I'll give you the guide tree voucher after the 5 seconds. So, okay, we've got the beads. You can give this to Prema Gopi? That's Gopi, guys. Okay, I'm going to turn this off now. Thank you all for joining us.